Hallelujah. The love of Jesus. Yo, he means everything to me. Sometimes I don't understand what people do without him. I've never forgot the day that I got born again. It's not a past memory. It's just like it was yesterday. When everybody else turned their back on you, but not him. He grabbed a hold of me. I went to church that day. I had hair down to my waist. I smoked pot on the way to church. I broke all the religious traditions. Came to church high. My wife was all fancied up in her little go-to-church clothes. And I had an AC/DC Highway to Hell shirt on. And a pair of tore-up blue jeans. And you know, when I walked into that door, the people didn't run from me. The people didn't call me Frankenstein. They didn't have pitchforks or torches. It was quite the opposite. I remember a gentleman, I seen him out of the corner of my eye. He came towards me. I seen him hugging on people. You know, back in them days, I didn't believe you was really supposed to be hugging a man. Don't hug another man. You know, I had some issues with that kind of stuff. I didn't think, you know, you fist bump, you elbow smash, but there was no hugging. I see him grab this guy, kiss him on his cheek. I thought, oh boy. Back in those days, I was in boxing, I was in martial arts, so I kind of set myself to kick him upside his head if he's going to think he's going to kiss me on my cheek. And you know, it's a funny thing that that when God's in a place, you can't do none of that. Not that you can't, but it's pretty impossible. And that man came up and he grabbed a hold of me and began to hug on me. And I didn't grow up knowing anything about love. Now, you may find that hard to believe, but I didn't know what love was. I had no idea what love was. My mom didn't tell me she loved me. My dad didn't tell me he loved me. My neighbor didn't love me. I knew what pain was. I was accustomed to that. I kind of enjoyed that. He grabbed a hold of me and began to hug me. And you know, the very presence of God was there. Same as it is with you. I don't know if you know this, but you're carriers of his presence. Everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you're a carrier of his presence. Everywhere you go, you're a carrier of his presence. When that man began to hug me, I began to be like jello. He got done hugging me and I couldn't make it to the seat. I knew at that moment that God was real. I didn't grow up in church. I'd never been to church a day in my life until that day. You know, you're going to have people walk in these doors that are going to be just like that. Never been to church a day in their life. You know, people were looking for God. The world's upside down. It's so divided. I don't know how it got so divided, but we knew it would. When he talked about the last days, yeah, absolutely, we're in the last days. He's coming back. But before he comes back, the church will rise up. Now, you may look at the church and not see that, but the church will rise up. and be the church. That particular gentleman, when he, I told him a year after that, I said, dude, I said, when I seen you coming, I was going to kick you right upside your head. He said, yeah, but you couldn't. And you know, that particular guy made an impact in my life. Because he was the first person in that church that came up and loved me, that accepted me, that then made me know that God's real, that he's alive. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you expecting in this church? I'm not asking the pastors what they're expecting. If you don't mind, look at that chair in front of you. Is somebody sitting in it? Look at the chair behind you. Is somebody sitting in it? Look at the chair next to you. Is somebody sitting in it? Because you know you determine that, not the pastor. You know, one of our prayers could be, Lord, I need to bring somebody to church. Where are they at? Send me to that person. Lord, that's crying out for you, that's hungry for you. You know, when you drive by a bar, you know them people are actually calling out for God. I was. I was looking for something different in my life. Start inviting somebody. Get comfortable with telling you no. Because when you get comfortable with them telling you no, when they tell you yeah, you'll take off running. You'll get to shouting. You'll get to rejoicing. And then get comfortable with that. I invited a guy to church one time. He told me no. I invited him another time. He told me no. I invited him another time. He told me no. I invited him another time. He told me no. So I decided to do what all Christians do. I just went and picked him up and carried him. So you ain't telling me no more. That ain't an option anymore. I carried him into the church. It wasn't an option anymore. He told me no too many times. It wasn't an option. I wasn't satisfied with that. You know, that particular guy, you don't have to wonder if he's going to be in church on Sunday, because he'll be there. Because God did something in his life. So if you have to, pick him up, put him on your shoulder, carry him into church. If you got to use rope, use rope. Got to use strapping, whatever you got to do. Praise the Lord. Hey, you didn't record that or nothing, because I could go to prison for that. Oh, good. Whew. Oh, man. Oh, I'd be at home in prison. I like prison. Hallelujah. Everybody at Mark chapter 9 yet? I love this story. Because I think that sometimes a lot of people can get at the same particular spot that this man was at. If you guys want to sit down, you can. Or if you want me to, can you sit down? You want me to help you? Okay. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. You know, every spirit's dumb. These kind are dumb. They ain't smart. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago is it since he came? This came unto him? And he said, of a child. You know, this daddy thought that this problem was bigger than God. You know, sometimes you can get comfortable in a situation. You can get comfortable in an issue in your life to where you no longer seek God. Yeah, praise the Lord. No, you can. Sometimes people can get comfortable with certain sickness. Well, I guess comfortable isn't the word I want to use. They can become accustomed to it. They can look at it as, well, I'm just getting older, or I'm just this, or I'm just that. And then they begin to get comfortable in that. We can get the same way sometimes with an ornery kid. We can get the same way. Sometimes our kids aren't serving Jesus, and we can get the same way. We become accustomed to that lifestyle. We can become accustomed to some things. Oft times it casts them into the fire and into the waters to destroy them. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything. You know, sometimes people are there. Lord, if you could do anything. Lord, if you could do anything. Lord, if you can do anything. Well, what is the anything you're looking for? I'm not looking for relief. I'm looking for change. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. One translation says, it's not a question of what I can do, but what you can believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, for years I read that, and that don't make sense. I believe, help my unbelief. Now, I'm probably the only one that read that and thought, well, that doesn't sound right. I believe, but help my unbelief. What was he saying? Huh?
I want to believe.
Do what?
I want to.
I think his head was giving him fits. I think he believed, but his head gave him fits. Now, I know that doesn't happen to you guys. It happens to somebody down the road. Their head giving them fits all day long. But here, well, we were just singing about Jesus, and our head don't give us no fits. Our head's perfect understanding. No, I got a feeling that a good majority of people fit that category. You believe, but your head's telling you everything that's contrary. Yo, your head ain't got no say in nothing. But if you allow it to have the say, meaning if you don't deal with those things, then they have mastery over you. You know, when I got born again, you know, I lived a rough life. And I know none of you did, but I did. But one of the things that I used to do is talk to the guy I seen in the mirror. Every day I talked to that guy. Every day I opened up my Bible and I would tell him who he was. I did that for 2 years. I used to share Jesus with my daughter. And then she'd get born again every time I'd share Jesus with her. I used to lay hands on her, pray the prayer of faith, and she'd fall down. She'd get back up. Oh, pray for me again. Pray for me again. So I was training to be comfortable when I knock on that door, to be comfortable when I see that guy who's got a gangrene foot. I was training myself to be comfortable. You know, if there's anything in my life that brings a fear, I'll go after it. Anything. I had a fear of preaching to older people. And I know none of you do, but I did. And I was praying about it one day. You know, I said, Lord, I don't feel comfortable sharing the gospel with somebody that they lived a long life. They know some things, right? He said, we're going to have to deal with that. Right? Yeah, okay. My preacher called me. Leon, I need you to do something for me Saturday. Oh, okay, cool. What do you need? He said, I need you to go to the nursing home and do the church service. Awesome. Can't wait. I wasn't saying it like that. It's like, oh, man. So we showed up, me and my little sweet wife. She says hi. She misses you guys already. She sent me a text this morning telling them I miss them. I told her they want to know who you are. I had to build her up. So I remember we got to this little nursing home, and the preacher didn't tell me everything that goes on there. And apparently I was supposed to lead praise and worship. Now, Connie and them will tell you, I used to lead worship from the back row at the church in Illinois. And then they'd tell me to go even back further. And then they'd tell me to go across the street, come in when the singing's done. So I never grew up in church. So they pulled out a hymnal. I'd never seen a hymnal. They say, we want to sing 120. 120. I turned to 120. I thought, my God, what is this? I can't read music. I can't do any of that stuff. I said, all right. All right, so let's sing it. Ain't nobody singing nothing. The old lady says, well, you got to lead us. Lead you what? Well, you know, I know that you got one of these thingamajiggies, but mine goes sideways. So it makes a different sound than everybody else. So I tried to sing this little hymnal thing, and I guess your thing's got to go up and down with different things. And then you got to do some pausing here and there. And then you go to a different thing. I don't know. I just sung it the way that I remember Gene Simmons singing. I thought, well, that's how you're supposed to sing it. Now, if you don't know who Gene Simmons is, he was in the band called Kiss, heavy metal band. So that's how I sang it. I thought, well, you know, and I could, you know, I was up there and I thought that's how you're supposed to do it. Well, I don't hear nothing. And then I hear this sweet lady. Now, again, I'm talking about facing a fear. Sweet little lady. She goes, oh, yuck. Talking about, oh, yuck. I don't hear you singing. You know, this is what my head's telling me. Now, again, I'm in a tough spot. I already don't want to be there. So I said, well, praise the Lord. You want to sing something else? How about 280? I can do better on that one. Never seen it before, but all right. So I asked the sweet lady, I said, well, will you help me? I said, I don't know hymns. I don't know how they go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She started singing. I thought, my God, I didn't sound that bad. No, I'm thinking this. I'm not saying it. I'm thinking this. And then the lady, she hollered at her, said, oh, that's not the way it goes. And then they started arguing. Praise the Lord. Things are going real good now. I hadn't even got to my message yet. And then some sweet lady rolled up to a piano and began to play a piano and began to sing the hymns the way that you're supposed to sing them. And it was very good. Now, I thought, man, why you let me struggle like that? Boy. I've always had to. I've always faced things that are a hindrance. I'll knock on a door if I don't feel comfortable knocking on it. I'll talk to somebody if I don't feel comfortable talking to them. I was with a gentleman one time in Chicago, walking down the street, and the Holy Ghost said, "Go in that door." I went in the door, and these guys know him. Jim Swanson was right behind me as we went in this door. And as I walked in the door, and I wasn't planning any of this, I said, I'm in love with a man, and his name is Jesus. Well, they all looked at us, and they looked at Jesus that was behind me. Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but we had walked into a gay bar. I began to share the gospel in that gay bar, and every one of them guys got born again that night. There was eight of them in that bar, and they all got born again. Seven of the eight got filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues. They left that night different, all because of following the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now, as we leave there, and we spent some time there talking to them, and we had knew of a church in Chicago. We sent them to that church. As we're walking down the road, Jim Swanson said, man, I could beat the dog out of you right now. He said, you say that, and they all look at me. He said, you didn't know it was a gay bar? I said, I didn't know. Holy Ghost said, go in that door. I went in the door and asked him a question, because he didn't give me a question. He said, go in that door. Hallelujah. He cried out, said with tears, Lord, I believe. help my unbelief? How do we deal with those issues going on between our ears? How do we do that? Does anybody know? Because I need some help in that area. Anybody know? I can sing if you want me to. This is where you answer my question. Otherwise, I'll start singing. And I'll sing loud. How do I deal with that? Huh? I heard somebody talk. Do what? Confess the word, meditate on the word. Is that a true statement? What does it say over in Philippians chapter 4? It said, be worried about everything. Huh? So it said, be worried about everything. Don't go to prayer. Maybe my Bible's messed up. You sure that's not what it says? You remember what he said over there? What did it say? Let me... Oh, yeah. It said, be anxious for everything. Worry about everything. But in everything, don't pray. Don't have no thanksgiving. Got to moan and groan about it. Don't let your requests be made known unto God, because he ain't going to listen to you anyway. And the fear of God, which passes all understanding, it'll kick you in your head and smack you in your jaw. Amen. Praise the Lord. Huh? That's not what it says? Well, you got a different translation? Well, what does yours say? Huh? Oh, come on now. Let's be real. I can worry about something, can't I? Go ahead. Keep reading it. Huh? Whoa. You get a little religious now. What do you mean pray? Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. Keep going. Then what happens? Then he don't answer you? Then he don't pay no attention to you?
No, it says, then you will experience God's peace.
What does that look like?
Exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
And then in verse 8, then it says, finally, brethren, turn on the TV, sit in front of the TV, watch Oprah. Huh? Is that what it says? I'm sure that's what he meant. I mean, that's a literal translation, probably. Watch Oprah. Watch soap operas all day long. No, what does he say? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, huh? What?
True.
Why would he say that in verse 8 after these verses? You know, when you're in the midst of a difficulty, when your body's talking to you the loudest, that's the time we need to start thinking on some other things. That's the time we need to start talking to that body. If you go to the doctor and he gives you a diagnosis, praise the Lord. You don't rebuke him and call him the devil. No, praise the Lord. But now when I get out of that doctor's office, I'm going to talk to my body. I'm going to begin to tell my body what the word says. Because that's what I did to me when I looked at that cat in the mirror. How many of you in here look in the mirror and talk to that guy on a regular basis? Anybody?
I do.
You do? Me and you the only ones? You do too? Well, it's three of us. That ain't bad. You know, I used to go to JCPenney, and I would share the gospel with the mannequins. You know, I laid hands on mannequins in JCPenney. Back then, they did, the mannequins had a head. Now they don't have heads on them. So it's a little hard to lay your hands on their head now. They don't have them. You know, I didn't do that for the benefit of the mannequin. I'm training myself so that I can be comfortable in doing those things. You know, my wife, she would go into the JCPenney with me and she'd disappear real quick. I'm sure she had something she had to go pick up and she wanted to find it before it went off sale. I'm sure that's what happened. I am. I was working on those things to become comfortable. The first person I ever prayed for had cancer. And that person was told that they wouldn't live but a couple weeks. You know, that's not time to do a Bible study. That's not time to, no, that's time to be prepared. I had prepared myself. I was comfortable praying the prayer of faith. I was comfortable. I was expecting God to do what God said he would do. If he will not do what he says he will do, and he will, then I could have just kept living my life the way that it was and had the same results. So my friend, him and his wife, they come over to the house. She had got this diagnosis, and you know, I'd tell you, she was having her a time. You know, when you got two little kids and they tell you that, that you know, 3 weeks you're going to cease to exist. She was having a time. And she's crying and carrying on and crying and carrying on and crying and carrying on and crying and carrying on. Why? Because it all got up in here. She began to see everything up in here bigger than what's in here. She was born again. She went to church every Sunday. Same as a lot of people. You know, compassion came on me. You know what compassion is? Good, because you're going to have to tell me because I don't know what it is. My wife says I don't have any. No, compassion came on me. I said, shut up in the name of Jesus. I won't hear it no more. We got to get to business. I said, we're going to pray for you. And I said, the moment we pray for you, your body's going to be healed. It's got nothing to do with what you believe. I'm telling you, this is what I believe, and this is what's going to happen. We laid hands on her. We prayed. The hair on the back of my neck never stood up. I didn't get any goosebumps. I didn't give no tongues and interpretations. I didn't have no gifts of the Spirit and the 15 flows of the Holy Ghost going. I didn't have any of that. I had a faith in God to know that the moment that I ask him for something is the moment he does what I ask him to. I think I read somewhere in there one day, and I don't know where it's at. You guys probably all know where it's at. If you shall ask anything in my name, I ain't going to do it. Isn't that how your Bible says it? Huh? Well, I thought I read it somewhere where it said that. Maybe somebody told me that. Maybe Oprah was talking about it. I think Oprah talked about that. If you shall ask anything in my name, huh? Matthew 18:19. Isn't it somewhere in John? Doesn't it say something like that? Is John in the Bible? I think I've seen that sometime somewhere. How does it say that? Let me look at that. Maybe it says that. Whew, I got to blow the cobwebs off this thing in the dust. It ain't been opened in a long time. Oh, here it is. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I ain't going to do it. If you shall ask anything in my name, forget it. It ain't happening. Huh? Why you guys shake your head? No. Huh? That's not what it says. Remember when we was in Mexico that one year and I said that? I said, how you come you guys let me talk like that? Somebody ought to take their boot off and throw it at me. And they did. But you know, that's what your head can do. Your head can begin to talk opposite of his word. When your head begins to get the primary conversation going in between your ears, then all of a sudden it doesn't look real. Jesus is real. He's not a story. He's not a Sunday school story. He's real. He's alive. He was here and still here. When we began to tell him how much we love us, he began to come in and listen to that. Grab a hold of that word and begin to talk about. Talk to your problems with that word. Don't let your problems talk to you. I watched a friend of mine. He was born with polio back in the day. And I seen him instantly. God do something for him. Instantly in a meeting. He was walking different. He was moving different. He got to a seat and he let it come back. When he left after the end of the church service, I had to help him outside. And I said, Mark, I said, I seen Jesus heal you. What happened? He says, oh, some things you get comfortable with. I don't understand that. I ain't comfortable with that. We cannot get comfortable with defeat. Cannot get comfortable with anything that's contrary to the word. Because the moment we get comfortable with it, we are of none effect. If I go out here in the street and I see a man in need, But I walk up to that man and I say, you know, God just wants to kick you in your head. He just wants to smack you in your jaw. But he loves you. How much of an opening am I going to have with that individual? I was a hospital chaplain for 5 years. Anybody ever been a hospital chaplain? That's some interesting stuff. You know, that's like cold calling. You're knocking on the door. Chaplain. Oh, you've seen miracles. You've seen miracles. Uh-huh. I did. I also seen some other interesting things. You find out where people are at. I walked into a room. Said, chaplain. I walked in. The guy told me, don't come in here talking about that Jesus stuff. I'm an atheist. I said, you're an atheist? He said, yeah. I said, well, what does an atheist believe? I ain't very smart. I don't know. He says, well, I don't believe in God. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, what happens when you die? He says, you just cease to be. I said, you cease to be? He said, yeah. I said, man, that's hard. I said, everywhere I look, I see God. He said, I see him right here. I said, I see him laying in that bed. He told me, he said, well, go ahead and say your little prayer and be on your way. I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. He said, I ain't going to say no little prayer. I said, you don't believe in it anyway. I said, why would I? He said, that's, you know, you're only given so many words to speak in a lifetime. I said, there's no reason for me to waste those words. I turned around and began to walk away. Now, see, this is that gift of compassion. That's the 13th gift, isn't it? I began to walk away. He says, stop, stop. And I turned around. I said, what do you need? He says, I'm pretty sick. He said, I need prayer. I said, well, what do you want me to pray for? He said, well, I need something to happen in my body. I said, why? He said, well, they said I'm going to die. I said, well, dying is just ceasing to exist. I said, now you don't believe that, do you? And he started to cry. He didn't believe that. I led that man to Jesus that day. I prayed for that man, and then I told him I'd be up the next day to see him. I went up the next day. He wasn't there. The lady told me that a miracle had taken place in his body. You know, you develop some relationships with some of the nurses, and you hear certain things if you don't get to see that person. She said he laid in that bed all day crying about God's goodness. But you know, that all began because somebody was praying for him, right? Right? It's like when you guys go into the community tonight, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. How did he say it here? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, huh? Come on, somebody help me. What does your Bible say? Huh? It shall be done. That's John chapter 14, verse 13. Anybody else? Tell me what? Come on now. I'll go to every person. Otherwise, I'll tell you what I think it says. You don't want me to tell you what I think it says. Come on, help me. And what version you got? Is that how it says it in the New Living? That's John chapter 14, verse 13. Man. I kind of like the way that says that. What does it say in verse 14?
Yes, ask anything in my name and I will do it.
Who said that?
Jesus.
How do you know that?
It's in red.
Those are the things we should be thinking about. Those are the things that we should be talking. When I look at that guy in the mirror, that's what I should be telling that guy. I should be telling him, hey man, you know what? You're wall-to-wall God. You talk God. You walk God. Everything you put your hand on prospers. You lay hands on the sick. They recover. Yeah. What if we change some of that? What if we changed the way we looked at that guy in the mirror or that girl? What if we changed all that? You know, when you're at work, does everybody at work, now if you work at the church, I'm sure it's this way, but if you don't work at the church, does everybody run up to you and say, oh, praise the Lord, glory? Do they run up and say that to you? Huh? They don't do that to me at work. Now, I've got them broken where they don't say what they used to say. I was telling these guys last night, everywhere I go, I set the atmosphere. Nobody else sets that atmosphere. I set it. I don't care where I'm at. I set the atmosphere. I set the atmosphere. Nothing else sets that atmosphere. I told him I went into the maintenance shop, and the maintenance guys were having an interesting conversation. One of them was saying, mother this. The other was saying, F this. The other was saying, GD this. And they got going on back and forth. I think it was a contest to see how many words they could get out in one sentence. Well, that stuff grieved me. Grieved me on the inside. Well, I got to shouting. I started praising Jesus. I started talking about Jesus. I started talking about the one I serve. Now, if you don't know me very well, sometimes I can tend to get a little loud. Well, I got very loud. And I walked up behind every one of them just so they can make sure they hear me. And I said, now we're going to do this a little bit different. When I come in the room, we don't talk like that. Well, brother, that's a workplace. Yeah, sure is. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, you can get around some people and they begin to talk about what's going on in their life in a bad way. And I understand talking about what's going on in your life. I listened to a conversation. A man was, he had a fever. He was saying he wasn't feeling good. The guy across from him said, yeah, that old Chinese bird pig flu's going around. You probably going to get it. Well, he said, well, I think I already got it. I got a fever. I don't feel good. And that guy said, well, you'll know if you got it because you'll cough like this. And he said, well, I already cough like that. He said, well, that's developing into some more serious diseases. He says, you might want to go to the doctor. And I'm listening to this. This is back and forth. I'm like, man, this is awesome. And the guy looked at me. He said, Leon, what do you think about that Chinese bird chicken flu? I said, you want to know what I think about that? He said, yeah, what do you think about that? There's a bunch of hogwash. He bore my infirmities. He carried my sicknesses. The stripes he took upon his back were what? For my what?
Healing.
For my healing. You know, that isn't 10 years down the road, right? That's not 20 years down the road. That's immediate, isn't it? Huh? It was done. Well, then they got up and then they walked away. I thought, darn it, I ruined that conversation. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Let me get back where I was at. I got lost. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What time we got to be done, man? I'm going too long. We should already be done, shouldn't we? Okay. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, what's true? God's word is true.
Amen.
It is true. When we act upon his word, we see the results that his word says. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Here, I'll say it a little bit differently. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Whatsoever things are honest. What things are honest?
His word.
Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. You know, you're not going to find true and honest and just and pure on TV anymore. It's all quite the contrary. On TV, they celebrate a different lifestyle. They celebrate something that's contrary to what this word says. If I allow that to permeate into my heart, when that word begins to come in, I've allowed something else to take precedence. And that word begins to get further and further away from me. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why did he tell us to think on them? Huh? Why? How many of you, when you're driving down the road, you're thinking about something? Anybody? Or am I the only one? How many of you, when you're at work, you're thinking about something? How many of you, when you're in the Walmart, you're thinking about something? How many of you, when you're in the shower, you're thinking about something? How many of you, when you're walking down the street, you're thinking of something? It's constantly happening. We're constantly thinking about something. What if that thought process all of a sudden became over into the Word? Where would I be tomorrow? Where would I be the next day? Where would I be a week from now? I'd be a lot further than where I am right now, wouldn't I?
Yes.
What if I started thinking about the God that does miracles? What if I start thinking about the God that lives in me? What if I start thinking about Jesus the healer? What if I start thinking about what He says in His Word or what He's spoken to my heart? What if I start thinking about those things? Huh? Man, oh man. Yeah. And what does that look like?
Victory.
That looks like victory. And you know that's what people are looking for, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you get out and around people, that's what they're looking for. That's what your loved ones are looking for. You know, whether you know it or not, but people know you go to church. They actually know you go to this church. You know, I have a boss that she used to be a little bit cantankerous. You know what cantankerous is? She's ornery. And we was having a meeting one time, and she calls me Reverend. So obviously she's making a statement. So we're in this meeting, and she says, Reverend, what do you think? Now, I try not to do that, because when I think, I usually get in trouble. And I said, I'm just kind of prompted here for a minute. I said, can I be prompted? Now, she don't know what that means, but she said yes. So that's all right. She gave me permission. I started praying in the midst of their little old meeting. All of a sudden, I knew things. I began to pray these things out that I knew. And they were concerning her daughter. Nobody else in that room knew that. I didn't know any of this. But he started bringing it up as I was praying. I wasn't shaking and quaking and casting nothing out. I was praying. I was being prompted to pray. After I got done praying, the guy sitting right next to her, I knew something about his wife. Began to pray for his wife. The guy next to him, all of a sudden, I knew something about his body. I said, hey, I said, can I lay hands on you? I said, the moment I lay hands on you, you'll be healed instantly. He said, how you know? I said, I'm telling you, I know. I laid hands on him. He was instantly healed because I listened to that prompting. In an uncomfortable situation, how did that happen? It happened way back here when I used to talk to that guy in the mirror, when I used to talk to those mannequins, when I used to cast demons out of cats. You know, cats got demons. I don't know if you know that. They got lots of them. They call them legions, and there's lots of demons in them cats. You got to get violent with them demons. No, you don't. But they do have demons. I mean, that's how you go about business, right? That's how you get to the place where you're at. Amen? Just like that man, his head was giving him fits. But did Jesus leave his son where he was at? He got him to a different spot, didn't he? Have you ever been to that place before? Maybe you hadn't said it out loud. Where you believe with your heart, but your head's just giving you fits. Have you been there before? It's not a good place to be, is it? Y'all read in the Bible sometime. Maybe you guys know where it is. I don't know where it's at. It said, bearing one another's burdens. Is it in there? Oh, yeah. Huh. I didn't even know where it was at. Praise the Lord. No, I knew where it was at. Why did he make a statement like that? For times like that when our... Sometimes maybe you're not at a spot where you need to be. Your head just giving you fits. Hallelujah. Did that make anybody mad yet? Nobody's mad? Even if I messed up the scriptures, you're not mad at me? You know why I do that, right? Because that's what our head tells us sometimes. Sometimes that's what our body tells us. Sometimes our head and our body tell us exactly opposite of what the Word says. At that moment, we have a choice to make. I can either follow what my body says. I can either follow what my checkbook says. I can either follow what my grandma says. I can either follow Ken down the road at the tire shop says. Or I could follow what Jesus says, what Paul said, what Peter said, what James said. I think James said it pretty good, the trying of your faith. Huh? Oh, we don't like that. Huh? Trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work in you, that you'd be entire, complete, lacking in everything.
Nothing.
Huh?
Lacking nothing.
Really? Wow. My head had messed up. Praise the Lord. That's what our head begins to tell us. Things that are opposite. When you're going out into the community and you're seeing people, you're inviting people to church and they tell you no, all of a sudden you can get discouraged and say, well, you know, this ain't working. No, it is working. I'm a product of prayer. I would not be here if it was not for prayer. When my wife began to believe God for me, I was in the midst of my addiction. I was addicted to cocaine. I was addicted to crack. I was addicted to LSD. I was an alcoholic. I was in the midst of it when she began to believe God for me. She started praying the Lord of the harvest if he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. It ain't yours. Into his harvest. And you know, they came out of the woodwork. I was sitting in a bar in Rochelle, Illinois, and a man came running in the bar shouting, I love Jesus. He got up on top of the bar and began to dance across the bar shouting, I love Jesus. I knew that guy. What I didn't know is he was on his way to the bar and he walked past a four-square church that had its doors open just like here. And they were singing a song, and that song reached out and grabbed a hold of him. And that day he gave his life to Christ. And he came in that bar to make sure every one of us knew. The bartender threw him out. He walked up and down in front of that bar for over an hour, shouting that kind of stuff. I sat in a crack house in Rockford, Illinois. Now, if you're religious, please forgive me when I say this, because I wasn't going to go to church, so you weren't going to meet me at church. I sat in a crack house in Rockford, Illinois, hitting on a crack pipe. And the guy right across from me began to tell me about Jesus, because he had questions, because somebody had shared Jesus with him. And it was messing with his heart. And he began to ask me questions about Jesus, like I know. And you know, that guy shared the gospel with me without even knowing that he shared the gospel with me. I would have people at the gas station getting gas. The guy over in the corner, he'd holler at me, hey, you! And I'd look over at him, give him a dirty look, think, you know, well, you want to fight? He'd say, you know, Jesus loves you. I'm a product of prayer. You know, in that 2 years that my wife was believing God for me, she did not see those results. But you know what? Every time I came home, and I'd be hammered, she would begin to thank God for those that he was sending across my path. I didn't come home and tell her, hey, some guy, I was at the crack house tonight, and an old boy told me about Jesus. I didn't tell her none of that. I tell her opposite. I actually was making fun of her church. I didn't know anything about church, or I'd never been to church. I was making fun of it. You know, a friend of mine told me it was a cult. So I was asking her about the cult stuff they were doing at the church. You know, that's always good conversation in a marriage. That always goes a long way. And I wonder why she punched me in my eye. Huh. Why you hit me for? Jesus is real. I'd like to do this if you don't mind. If your head's giving you fits, I'd like to pray for you. If that's all right with you. If you don't want me to pray for you, that's okay too. I'm all right with that. Well, I'm not all right with it, but I have to deal with that. If your head's giving you fits, if your head's talking to you different than what that word's talking to you, if you got sickness in your body, Jesus still heals today. He's still the God of miracles. He hasn't stopped. He hasn't been on vacation. He hasn't taken any time off. He wants to do a miracle in your body. You need help? You want me to help you up? Oh. If you need prayer, I'd like to pray for you. If you want, you can come down here if you want. That'd be all right. I want to ask you this. If you're here today and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'd like to pray for you. And you could be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Is there anybody like that today? Because I can bring the mic around and ask you to pray in tongues for me if you want. I wouldn't do that, but I could. Hallelujah. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is good. Jesus, there's none like you. I thank you, Father, as they go out tonight to pray for this community. This is your community. This is your community. As they go out tonight and began to pray for this community, I thank you for the impact that those prayers will have in this community. This church was called for this day and for this hour to do the very works of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what Pastor Calvin said earlier about being an international church. I don't know if he realizes it. He already is an international church. They have touched the world. They have touched the world. I thank you for expanding their vision, making it very clear and focused. 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 Focused. Clear and focused. Father, for those that are needing prayer today, I'm going to do exactly like you showed me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.